We're rolling.
Okay.
Tar, go ahead. Get it out of your system, Tar. Go ahead.
I'm done. Oh, I think this is Zezu Pitts.
This is Professor Feather.
Really?
This is the midnight, that was Victorian saxophone gadfly.
This is Dr. Jazz. Ed.
Gotcha.
And this is the Blue Fez, and we bring you...
Jazz.
What?
Where's the bear? Oh,
it's starting already.
Okay. Hello, sweaty inmates. Oh, tonight we're going to talk about a whole lot of movies based on one of our favorite writers.
A heap of wolves.
Yeah. No. Not the girl who wrote Twilight. We're talking about H.G. Wells. That's right. H.G. Wells, I think one of the greatest names in early science fiction. I grew up reading H.G. Wells. One of my favorite Christmas gifts I ever got was a box set of like six or eight novels. There was like War of the Worlds, Food of the Gods, all kinds of great stuff in there. Frankenstein, you know, but his science fiction has been so solid and so transcendent that it's been made into a lot of movies. And we're going to talk about some of these movies. And so I'm just going to open it up with, I think, probably maybe the earliest movie I remember seeing from that I recognized as H.G. Wells. And that was War of the Worlds.
The Gene Barry one.
Yeah, the 1953.
Yes. George Powell.
George Powell. Yes, and just
they might smell color.
Yeah, just loving it. The sets, the design of the ships, the sound effects, the aliens. I mean, the color palette, that kind of dark lit scenes and the special effects. I mean, everything works together beautifully in this movie. An early example of like alien invasion, and I would love to have seen a version with the stop animation, all the big triptychs, and you know those big machines. But
Did you read where they initially, instead of just doing the little animation and look, you know, carrying it by wires, looking like they're floating, they originally wanted to do like a Tesla coil thing where they had arcs of electricity supposed to be the legs as it walked.
Oh, that would be awesome.
They did a test of it, and it was just like, fuck that. That was it's going to kill someone.
They needed
a lot of power to do this.
Yeah.
But they said it looked really good.
It looks good, though, like, man. God damn.
But it took like a.
Well, like real fucking Tesla coils, not like drawn on the screen. That's why I was like, oh, they're going to animate the cells. Oh, no, we're going to make real fucking Tesla coils.
That would have been really cool.
That would have been the William Friedkin version.
Friedkin.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. That's probably my first real memory of H.G. Wells' movie was The War of the Worlds. You know, that War of the Worlds. What did it come out? 53,
I think.
Was it something like that?
Did you like it when you saw it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
How old were you at the time? I'm sorry. You were born.
Well, that came out.
I'm just curious.
He was three.
Well, I watched it. I saw it on TV. Yeah.
Was it black and white? Did you see it?
I saw it on TV.
Black and white the first time?
Yes, black and white. Huh? The first time I saw it was all black and white. Yes.
Oh.
But then the second time I saw it at my aunt and uncle's house, and they have a color TV. Seriously, so I would go over there.
I saw all
kinds of stuff. You know, I would go over there because one of the big things that would happen annually was the showing of The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah, it's springtime.
So I would always go to my aunt and uncle's because they had a color TV, you know. That's so beautiful, you know, to see.
Yeah.
And my sister also took me to see The Wizard of Oz when I think I was 7 or 8, which would have been like 57 or 58.
Oh, that would have been
at the theater. At the theater. Oh, yeah. No, that's one of my earliest memories of theater. And
going to
Jesus, what an experience, you know, for a 7-year-old kid, Dr. Head, to watch this movie.
Of course.
A big theater.
It would have been astonishing. I don't like the movie, but I can certainly.
Yeah, exactly.
If I was young, I at least.
That's why I brought it out. That's why I brought it out.
Yeah, because it is a gorgeous looking film. I will give you that. It is sumptuous. The sets are lovely.
And it just kind of sucks you in.
Oh yeah, it does. It totally does. I completely understand how it can. You know, because I watched it time and time again, thinking maybe it's something wrong with me. I'm like, no, it's not.
Back to H.G. Wells.
Back to H.G. Wells. Yeah.
Do you know what his first film adaptation was? Do you know? Anybody know? First film adaptation of an H.G. Wells story.
Island of Lost Souls?
No, it was
First Man on the Moon.
George Melies, yeah.
The
Trip to the Moon. George Melies with the little selenite.
That is true.
That was like, 1902?
I can forget that.
But does anybody remember The Man Who Could Work Miracles?
Yeah, I saw that last year for the first time.
Yeah, I saw that. It was like late night.
It's like that.
That's an early one.
That's an early one.
That's like from the 30s.
It's a cautionary tale. You know,
well, they did a whole bunch because they did Island of Lost Souls in 1932.
Yeah.
And then in 1933, The Invisible Man
was
in 1933.
Which I think that's brilliant.
Shape of Things to Come. When did that came out?
That was 36 or something like that. Too,
yeah. 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 The 30s was his heyday, I guess. Mm-hmm.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Things to Come. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, the theater in the summertime, they would always have these like summer movies for, I think, $1 a piece or something like that, or 50 cents a piece or something. And you get like popcorn and shit, you know, with it. And they would show, often they would show these movies, you know, Trip to the Moon or War of the Worlds, you know, things like that, along with like Disney Weeks and things like that. So I got, you know, or some of the like Sinbad movies, you know. So, nothing like these, seeing these movies. If you get a chance to see them on a, you know, big screen as a kid, it's just stick with your life.
I like about the movies. I like Island of Lost Souls is probably one of my favorite adaptations of an H.G. Wells story.
And Wells hated that movie though.
Yeah.
He hated.
Really? Why?
He didn't like Charles Lawton's the way he portrayed Moreau. He thought he was too sadistic, too painful in inflicting pain. That's not how Wells saw.
Yeah.
More like the Martin or
the Burt Lancaster movie.
Though the 96 version with Brando.
Yes.
Because he doesn't come across as sadistic.
He kind of.
Across as being really fucking crazy.
Yeah. There is that, right, the mad scientist. You know? Yeah, Dr. Moreau is such or Island of Lost Souls, it is such a great story, this concept.
Well, what's the 77 one, Burt Lancaster one?
Yeah.
They did that one. And that's probably more accurate, you know, as a portrayal of Moreau than any of them. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be malicious, but it ends up becoming that. You know what I mean?
Well, what about the all kinds of versions of his stories, you know, keep popping up,
right?
Like War of the Worlds. What about this the other War of the Worlds movie?
Any invasion movie?
There've been like four or five. It's a freaking franchise now.
With
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, the Tom Cruise one, Gadfly. What do you think about that?
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I like it. I think it
Yeah, it. I like the action. I like the production, but I also like the original one. I like the because of the production design, and again, I'm very nostalgic for shit I saw on TV. You know, which was great.
Right.
And I'll confess, I'm not a big H.G. Wells fan. I not because I think he is bad or any of that kind of stuff. It's because I think I was forced to read Time Machine so many fucking times in. Throughout my undergrad and graduate, you know, all that stuff, you know, they and then they would just talk ad nauseum about that. Exactly. I like the new one. Is that Spielberg, isn't it?
What with the Tom Time Cruise? Machine?
No, the Tom Cruise version of.
That was Spielberg. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. That's again, you know, it's, I said I've been a person who really didn't like Tom Cruise early on.
And no, I didn't like him.
Well, and I really like him now for his acting choices. I don't give a shit about his personal life at all.
No, I just never liked him. But anyway, but I did like him in, not him, but I liked, what was that movie he first did with the. Boy.
If you want to go one. Tom Cruise, Tropic Thunder is my Tom Cruise takeaway.
That's such a good movie.
Seriously, because he doesn't care about being Tom Cruise at all.
You're he's right. Like, absolutely right. I love
his that, whole man. Thing yeah. that he said to them was, I need to have fat fingers. I'm like, all right. Anyway.
A really good character.
Yeah, back to H.G. Wells. I don't think there's a lot that I knew H.G. Wells did that I watched. I love The Isle of Dr. Moreau. I especially like the one with, what was the one in the 70s?
Val Kilmer?
Yeah, well, I like that one too. Only because it's so fucked up. No, what was the one that the guy
Burt
that was
Lancaster in, one.
Yeah, well, yeah, the
Michael,
one,
right? Michael York.
Michael York. Yes. That's the one.
Michael York. Yes.
Yeah. Because I saw that at the drive-in. You know, again, you see something as a kid at the drive-in or the theater, and you're like, I'm in.
Oh, there was a Filipino movie, too. Twilight People. They were converting people into, like, animal hybrids, and they had the... This bad
remember
girl.
That. Yeah,
that was a John Ashley. I'm sure he was in it somewhere. I think it had Pam Grier in it too.
Did it really? You did
quite a few of those Philippine movies in the Philippines with Sipag and all those guys. Yeah, there was a whole bunch of those. Yeah, there were a bunch of those down there.
Well, then, and talking about, you know, good movies there, Empire of the Ants.
Mm-hmm.
That's an H.G. Wells.
Joan Collins.
Loosely based on. Yeah. I like that movie, though. I like Empire of the Ants.
Oh, did you?
I think we've talked about it. Oh, yeah. I mean,
who made it?
Because it looks so cheap, you know, but the ants, you know, are real live ants. It's a very 70s cast. I mean, obviously, it has a 70s
feel. What the hell were we thinking of getting fire ants?
It's a simple story, you know, and I just love it. I'll watch it probably once a year, you know. Yeah.
Oh my God! They want us to feed them.
Mm-hmm. It's way better than a lot of other similar insect movies, like Invasion of the Bee Girls and things like
not
that.
Not them.
Them was no, not them. But that's a different era. Them was better. Ants. You know, 20 years before that, we're talking the '70s. You know, we had Kingdom of the Spiders. We had Giant Spider Invasion. Yeah. There's all kinds of these. Bug
movies. Did you like? I kind of like Kingdom of the Spiders. I thought that was kind of good. I thought that was a fun movie.
Yeah, with William Shatner. Yeah, there were fucking all these fucking tarantulas everywhere. Like, how'd you wrangle a couple thousand tarantulas?
But I kind
of
like that.
And then there's scenes of violence against him, which like I have a hard time watching now. Like, oh no, man, don't kill these fucking spiders.
Well, we did an episode on Empire of the Ants already, and that was episode 977.
Look it up.
Memento. Look it up. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Yes.
But yeah.
What about the first Men in the Moon, the 1964? Oh,
Harryhausen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that was a fun movie. I like that one.
I like that.
So do I.
That kind of goes with the Jules Verne, you know, the whole 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea type thing. And I really
like that.
The lightheartedness of the whole thing.
There's a look to these films that is just really comforting and kind of wonderful. And you know, you could tell that the sets are gorgeous, you know, but you just kind of enjoy the story, you know. And there's a simplicity to these stories that is charming. Well, now we look at it, it's kind of antiquated, but that's the stuff we grew up on. In my childhood, that's what I grew up on. It's what I fed on. So to me, it's very nostalgic and it's very comforting to watch these movies.
Yeah, and when I was little, I did like George Pal's Time Machine, too.
Yeah, Time Machine I watched with my mom when I was little, because that was one of her favorite movies. And so I...
Do you're talking about the first one?
The 1960, yes.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, with another George Powell, Rod Taylor, and Yvette Mimieux.
Yeah. Alan Young. I was 10 years old, yeah.
So. Yeah. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Yeah, Yvette Mimieux is pretty hot.
I like the Morlocks.
So is Rod Taylor. So.
I just like the
story. Yeah, the Morlocks are good. The story. Well,
what's his name? Eric Fleming. Was that the main star?
Rod Taylor.
Rod Taylor. Eric Fleming was in something else.
Rod Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just kind of that, you know, macho man. So, you know, it worked out pretty well. You know, I liked it. I mean, I still like it. I watch it now. Mm-hmm. I still like it.
Yeah, it's still a very entertaining.
It's a great time machine. The machine that they made is just so cool. That's just so cool.
You got a big wheel in the back and a little dial in front. You're like, oh yeah, this thing works. I can see it. Right. Yeah.
I've told you guys this before, but on campus, I got to see George Pal, and that he did a little, you know, symposium talking and answering question type things. But he was like pushing that. I think at the time he was like trying to get funding for a Time Machine 2. And he was like showing pre-production sketches and all that stuff. It was kind of cool. It was just a little adjunct to all this stuff. But
okay. I think it's interesting that Time Machine that you're talking about showed up on Big Bang Theory, because they bought the original Time Machine.
Did they? The original one?
Well, that's what they say, but I mean, it's like on their in their apartment.
I know they make the replicas of this shit.
Yeah, well, they say is the original in there. So I think that's right. And I remember that was great. Yeah, yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, I'd buy a replica.
Yeah, has anybody seen the Guy Pearce Time Machine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is it?
The 2002.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while.
I thought it was pretty good.
And who played the head mutant? That was
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
There.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good though. It's I thought you didn't like it.
It's different.
You didn't like it, Fez?
Oh, you didn't like it, really?
I did not. And let me go on record as saying that Wells's grandson directed the movie, changed the entire plot.
Fuck you, Grandpa.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was absolute garbage. I am not afraid to admit.
Okay,
this.
Then.
It was a complete tonal shift from where humanity was going. How humanity ended up as food for the Morlocks. And it turned it into this fight for, you know, and, you know, for survival. And it took out the entire, we were breeding them for, you know, humanity as cattle. And I couldn't get behind the changes to the plot. And Mrs. Fez, when I got home, she's like, "Well, what did you think?" And I said, "I'm like, does it? I can't talk. Can't talk. I'm like, it was garbage." So yeah, I'm going to go on record as being the thumbs down person.
I haven't seen it in a while, so
I'm
curious to look at it again.
Yeah, I didn't make it through it. I was about maybe not even 45 minutes into it, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm out, you know.
And do you know what? His wife dies. His wife dies. And you know, and he's going back in time to try to save her.
Yeah.
Much like another movie that we've seen with Guy Pearce.
What was the remake of Things to Come with
Things That Came?
It was really
That was the sequel. That was the,
it's the like porn a version. Canadian, that was it's the a porn Canadian
version.
It had what's his name? Jack Palance. It's like really awful Canadian production.
Talk about and it, things.
And it ends up becoming like two cities fighting each other or whatever. And they have the. It just looks awful.
I never saw it. Yeah, I never saw
it. No, it's like a remake of Things to Come. Yeah. And they got these cheesy robots that were like.
1979.
Yeah.
The cheap end of 79.
Oh, very.
Yeah. Another one I saw late. Later in my movie career is Food of the Gods. I had the novel, and you know, I had read that, but I'd never seen the movie, and I found it quite disturbing. Like scenes where they're like shooting the rats, and I realized after they're shooting paint at them.
Still, the, rat,
the rats look like they're in a lot of pain and dismay. I'm like, it's not entertaining. Sorry, you know, written word is one thing. Now we have CG, we never have to worry about doing that shit again, which is fine.
And I'm sorry, Bert.
But so many movies and shows have come up from his concepts. Like Food of the Gods turned into Village of the Giants, you know.
Which is another fun one.
Yeah, right. You know, and
Gordon.
Yeah. Right, Bert I Gordon.
Carried
yeah.
him on their breast. Anyway.
Yeah.
Bert I Gordon. Thanks, yeah. Bert.
Let's see. What else?
Like Moreau, you know, Dr. Moreau and War of the Worlds. That seems to be all the.
Yeah, there's a whole big franchise of movies on War of the Worlds now. Yeah. And Invisible Man.
TV series? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Invisible Man, too.
Yeah,
the War of the Worlds. I love that. The original. Invisible Man with Claude Rains. I really like that.
That's a good movie, too. Yeah. It's probably my least favorite of the franchise, like the monster. I mean, as the films go, but they're not bad. But
the original one I really like.
Oh, yeah.
The other ones, sure. I
just like with the Mummy, they quickly degrade.
It's a price. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
The Mummy is like.
They do. James Whale is. Just, you know, he hits it out of the ballpark with this one, but then you're right, it quickly goes downhill.
But the next one had Vincent Price, which wasn't
bad,
but it's not the same as the first one, though. No. But yeah, although I did like, what was it? The Invisible Agent, when they catch him they throw the net on him, but the net has like all these fish hooks in it, and you hear him like, yeah, so it's just like, and Peter Lorre's in it, and what's the other guy? Cedric Hardwick.
Yeah.
Say his name. Anyway, yeah. I thought that was
Cedric
cool,
so. Hardwick.
Hardwick. Oh.
You make
hit him with the Hardwick.
Light my fire. Yeah.
So maybe we should discuss some stuff that's inspired time after time.
Oh, right. Time after time.
I remember seeing that one.
I enjoyed that movie. Yeah. Jack the Ripper, you know, I thought that was fun.
1979. And
who are the actors? I can see them, but.
Oh, who are the two? David
Warner.
David Warner, yeah.
Very nice.
Who played every bad guy in the late 70s?
At the time, he did.
He was the tall English guy. It's like, oh, let's just get David Warner. And not to be you know, outdone. But League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, volumes 1, 2, and 3, yes, borrow very heavily from H.G. Wells.
Yeah,
and
Jules, that's Gold. True. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And
especially volumes 2.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
Yeah. Well, kind of Jules Verne's like steampunky. Almost like a steampunk version. Right. Sorry, Gadfly. I started talking the same time you did, Ben.
No, it's all good. I was just saying that would be a great episode, is to talk about The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen by Alan Moore. Yeah, because there's so many references that we already talk about that we could just branch out on. Yeah, amazing stuff.
Let's do it.
Yay. What about... So... I mean, there's a bunch of other adaptations that I've never seen of stuff that I've never even read. Because I'm also not a real big H.G. Wells fan. I've read all the normal stuff, you know, but he's written all kinds of stuff. And, right, like, there's movies that were made of some of his other works that I never even heard of, you know. The History of Mr. Polly, 1949 yes, movie. What's that story about?
Memento.
Yeah, Half a Sixpence, which is a movie that came out in 1967. Is that based on a story?
It's a musical.
Is it?
But it's based on...
I don't get Kips. 2 shillings.
Kips, the movie Kips, which also was an earlier film.
Kips?
Yeah, 1941. It was a 1905 novel. It's not science fiction.
Right.
It's about a guy who inherits a big fortune, you know.
Yeah. He wasn't just a science fiction writer. Right, exactly.
Yeah, but that's where I think he got his most success. At least
it is.
We know him as the science fiction writer of these classic, you know, became movies. And I think through the movies you discover the writing. I wonder if that's probably what happened for me. Like, I'd probably seen one of these when I was really little, and then just started getting the books. You know, I knew that these were based on books, you know, so.
I think there was a lot of them, a lot of movies at that time. I would go back and see if you find out origins where all these stories came from. And you kind of go back and look at the stuff. It was, I like that, when the old days when we used to find stuff like that. And then you go kind of encouraged to go explore.
Mm-hmm.
Science was that way with me. You know, you would see this and, like rocketry, you know. And at the time when we were growing up, you know, space was becoming the big thing anyway. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Connection. Well, who's the other science fiction writer that we see all kinds of movies made out of, you know, that you may not have even know that they were stories, you know?
Well, Bradbury, I would think.
No, or Philip K. Dick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, the number of things. And if I don't like his writing. I love his ideas. I'm not a fan of his writing. I find it very difficult to read his stuff.
Huh. He's tripping.
But I would say that he's very much like H.G. Wells, because there's a lot of stuff. Like, I didn't know that The Isle of Dr. Moreau or Isle of Lost Souls was H.G. Wells. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of stuff that's out there.
Is that the same people that made King Kong, though, too? No?
RKO?
Wasn't it? I mean, I thought it was like the same kind of creative team that was... Wasn't it a Merlin?
I don't Cooper? Know.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, I know.
For some reason, I thought they're connected.
Well, the... Not Lost Souls, but... based on the short story, The Most Dangerous Game, that was shot on the same set by the same people.
Oh.
Same year as King Kong. They use the same set. I mean, Fay Wray's in both of those. Same thing with the captain, you know, or their husband or whatever. Yeah, so they were, whatever studio that was, they were doing a couple movies.
Did you like Most Dangerous Game? I know.
Yeah. Oh, I do. Yeah. Rainsford, I think
you don't care for that story, though, right? I thought you didn't care for that story, but anyway, Most Dangerous Game. I like the original, that first one, like we're talking, that time period. I think it looks really cool. I just
That was Conrad, not wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that story. I'm surprisingly very. I really like Conrad. You know. Yeah, there's a lot of his stuff that I really like, especially the
Hans Conrad.
Oh, no. Yeah, Hans Conrad. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah,
not the Twonky.
Conrad Brooks.
Hey, there he is. Yeah. I see Conrad right there. Hey, hi, Conrad.
Hi, Conrad.
Robert Conrad Brooks.
I just got a Ned Wood.
My very first celebrity autograph was from Conrad Brooks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I saw him at a convention, and we were talking about it. He's like, oh, this is me. And he goes, would you like an autograph? I'm like, sure. Yeah. I had no idea that it costs money. He's like, that'll be $10. I'm like, oh, fuck. I didn't have to pay for it. Yeah, right. I wouldn't have bought it. I wouldn't have spent 10 bucks on it otherwise.
Wait, didn't we meet one of those people from Ed Wood days at the Cinema Wasteland? Hmm. It may have been Conrad Brooks.
Could have been. That's what he was doing. I don't know if I saw him at.
I pretended I was Conrad Brooks.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. Never mind. Yeah, you're right. Because people kept asking you, aren't you Conrad Brooks? And you're like, not anymore.
Now, I told that story before. Dr. Morbius, who was a horror host out of Defiance, was at the Cinema Wasteland, and he saw me and he goes, Conrad. And I said, yeah, how you doing? We had a conversation, and pretty soon I just kind of laughed. I said, look, I'm not Conrad Brooks. I said, yeah. And it pissed him really off.
Oh.
He walked away in a huff.
And he then
wasted my time on a non-celebrity.
Well, yeah. He then disappeared completely after that. Nobody knows what happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There you go. That's what happens when you fuck with the feather.
That's right.
I know. I have.
Can't take a joke?
I have one of his t-shirts that Dr. Schott gave us for helping him film a
movie.
Yeah. And it was.
The Black
like,
Rose.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he goes, all I have is triple XL. So I'm like, okay, this is like a night shirt now.
Nice. Yeah, mine fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have mine.
The films of H.G. Wells.
Yeah, anymore. I think we covered most of the ones we watched.
We watched.
I think we should talk a little more about Village of the Giants.
Do it.
And what do you get to say about Village of the Giants?
What's one of the Bo Bridges that was in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy riding around in between the girl's breasts when she was.
Yeah, I only came across it a couple years ago. And watch a little bit of it, like, oh, okay. So you got this
sexy, crazy giant. Vic, what's his name? The music. He's like, it's so repetitive. It's just bad. But anyway, brought to you by Mr. Big, though, also. So, who else did that? It looked like a TV movie, didn't it? I thought it looked like
a TV movie.
Yeah, had all the characters bad movie, but fun. Oh, Ron Howard's in it. I forgot.
Yeah, Village of the Giants. Do you mean the series?
No.
Oh, the movie.
The movie, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know. Land of the Giants is what you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Land of the Giants was the series.
Yeah. The series, okay.
That's what we should talk about. Irwin Allen sometime, I think. Of his little
project.
All those things.
Nah.
Kind of grew up with those. Sid Marty Krall.
See all the entertainment coming your way, fellow inmates. Yes. Well, I think if no one else has anything else to say, then I think we can wrap this therapy session up. H and the G and the Wells.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
And you have been listening to Too Much Saxophone.
Saxophone Radio.
Oh, you sexy bitch.
always have sax on the phone all the time.
I can't pick my phone up.
It's too slippery.
I was sexting.
Oh. Oh my God, I love your weed.
Can I fit this sock over my sax?
Oh, you got a rotary phone?
You know how to blow, don't you? Oh yeah, kid.
Send all your hate mail to unsaneradio at gmail.
Care of the Blue Fez.
Tarn Feather has an extreme presence on many social platforms.
Focused on the X. Yeah. A tree.
Our cells pretty thin. Yeah.
That's right. And heavy metal horror is on Instagram. Is on YouTube. So many good things coming your way. Coming up, we're doing a Bite Me Jaws, a Jaws retrospective, and our top 5 worst metal album covers of all time.
That would be fun.
And if you're out and about, check out the Wee Freaks archive. On the Facebooks.
Or Freaks Wee, Memento style.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, but that's Johan, right?
Shit.